We're getting ready to go into our Bible time tonight, and I hope that you'll take your Bibles out and have them ready. And Brother Floyd Repass is going to preach for us tonight, and I appreciate Brother Floyd's willingness to speak. I actually asked him to speak a couple weeks ago, or last week, week before last, on Sunday morning, and when we were going to New Jersey, and I selfishly asked him if I could have him preach on Wednesday night because I wanted to be able to be here to hear him preach. And so he agreed, and he is our speaker. Most of you guys know that Brother Tim, our associate pastor, this is Brother Tim's father-in-law, and Brother Tim has been a blessing to us, and the Repasses moved up here several years ago from North Carolina, and we're glad to have them here, and glad to have Brother Floyd with us. Continue to pray for Brother Floyd, and pray for him tonight as he preaches. Years ago, Dad, the very first church that Dad pastored was College Park Baptist Church, and ironically, several years before that, Brother Floyd had pastored that same church, and so Mom and Dad met Brother Floyd shortly after that when I was a couple years ago, but it was more than two, and met them, and I was in middle school when we met the Repasses, and the Lord's allowed our paths to cross here in Virginia again, so they're a blessing, and so you guys grab your Bible, be ready for the Word of God. Brother Floyd, you come and preach to us tonight. Thanks for your willingness to preach.
Move slow. It's getting old. Right. It's bad, I'm telling you. Somebody said that glad you only get old once, because don't know if we can stand it more than once. So we did pastor in College Park in Reidsville, North Carolina. I was there almost 10 years and had a good ministry, enjoyed the ministry there. And I think the only reason I left is the Lord wanted me to move up to West Virginia. It was time for Kippy to find a man. And, of course, I think he had Tim there. So he moved us up for that purpose, I believe. I wouldn't be surprised. I was only there 3.5 years. And other than that, 10 years is the shortest time I spent in any of the churches. So I believe it was just for that purpose. But anyway, thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity to preach. I always enjoy preaching. I know each time I do it, maybe the last time, you know. But anyway, it's quite an honor. And I'm also thankful for your ministry week after week after week. And a lot of people may not understand, but I'm one person who knows how much time that you put in study in order to minister to our needs. And we appreciate that. I certainly do, and I'm sure others do. Another thing I'd like to mention before I preach, and I can cut it off anywhere, so I'll quit at time. I'd like to just tell the church family how much we appreciate their ministry to us and the loss of Miss Jackie. Very sudden it happened, and from the time we took her to the hospital until she went to be with the Lord was 10 days. And I appreciate the church family here. They visited in the home, at the hospital. They're very gracious to supply the needs that we had. I don't know how I'd have got through it had it not been for Brother Howdy Shell. I saw him here somewhere a while ago. Over here he is. But I'll tell you, if you ever have a need, he's wonderful. I tell you that. The morning she passed, we gave him a call, and he came, and I don't know how I would have bore under seeing her move other than a friend was taking her out. And so that was a real blessing to us, and it meant a whole lot. And then you're coming to visits, people came, sang, prayed, brought food, flowers, all of that, and it was really, really good. And not only that, but you've continued doing that over the last month and a half. And I appreciate that. You know, the first prohibition that God gave was it's not good for man to be alone. And that's the only part I don't like about it. I'm glad that Jackie's in heaven, and we talked about it, and we settled on it, and so we praise the Lord for that. If you'll turn in Jeremiah chapter 29, when you just preach once in a while, you're always wondering what the Lord would have you to do, but this is something that speaks to my heart, and so I trust maybe that it will be a blessing to you also. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 1, said, "Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders which were carried away captive, and to the priest, and to the prophets, and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon." And then down in verse 4, it says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husband, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished." Then he says, "Seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace." And then over in verse 10, he said, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place." And then he says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me, when you shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive." All right, let's pray, and then we'll look at these verses. All right, Father, we do love you tonight, and it's because you first loved us. We know there's nothing in us that's any good except what you do. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. We pray, God, that you'll bless and use us. We always appreciate opportunities to give a witness to your goodness and your kindness. I pray you'll bless me tonight. Help me. Hide me behind the precious blood and use me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you'll look at that little phrase in the last part of verse number 11, where he said, "I have thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an unexpected end." And I read that verse, and the word unexpected could very well be translated hopeful. In other words, God is saying here, "I want to give you an unexpected end. I want to give you a hopeful conclusion." Now, everybody wants to know how things are going to turn out. We always want to know how's it going to end, what's going to happen. Everybody's afraid of what he doesn't know, and afraid of the unknown. And you may be waiting, I don't know, somebody may be waiting for a test to come back from a doctor. I've had that just recently, and it's not fun. Someone may be wondering out about a problem in the family, maybe a wayward child, or there may be a marriage problem. You really don't know if 6 weeks or maybe 6 days from now, you'll still be where you are now. You're not sure how it's all going to work out, and so you'd like to see the end. I mean, everybody wants to know what's going to happen in the end. Now, if you'll notice here, we note, first of all, the difficulty of the people of God. After Solomon died, his kingdom was divided, just a little bit of the background history, and his son Rehoboam ignored the advice of the wise old men which told him, lower the tax burden. That's always a good idea. You know that? I like it when I turn on television and they're talking about reducing taxes, lowering the tax. I mean, that's good. But he would not listen to his advisors. Oh, no, he said. In fact, I'm going to be tougher on you than my father was. I'm going to be harder than he was. And so often, you know, because of that, the 12 tribes of Israel, there were 10 considered the northern tribes, then the two southern. But so the 12 tribes of Israel, the northern 10, they said, enough of this. In other words, we're going to have Jeroboam for our king. Rehoboam was not going to rule over us. We've had enough of that. So we'll just, and so they became known as Israel, and they moved their capital city up to Samaria. And then the two tribes in the south, they stayed with Rehoboam, and they were called Judah, and their capital city remained there in Jerusalem. Now, in 722 B.C., Shalmaneser came down from Assyria, and he took those 10 northern tribes, which was Israel, he took them into captivity. And they were dispersed and essentially never heard of again. They talk about the lost tribes and all, and they're lost to everybody except God. He knows where they all are. Now, in 606 B.C., Nebuchadnezzar came down from Babylon, and he took the two southern tribes into captivity. Now, he took them where they were to be, according to verse number 10. They were going to be there for 70 years. And they're going to be there because for 490 years, they had failed to keep God's Sabbath. Now, everybody gives God what he owes him eventually. You realize that, don't you? I mean, let me just back here. Nobody can steal from God in the long term. In other words, the Bible said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And so I think everybody is a tither. Now, I realize some folk tithe to God through the local church like they're supposed to. And then there are other people that will tithe maybe through the local doctor or their tithe will go to the hospital or maybe to the local mechanic. But listen, you don't get the blessing if you tithe that way like you would if you do it to the local church. And so the first difficulty is they are in captivity. Now, you and I, we can't imagine something like that, you know what? I mean, we've had so much freedom in America, we cannot even imagine what it would be like for an army to come down while we are hiding and would take us away from our homes, away from our families, would separate us from our possessions and take us up to a strange land. But you see, they were in captivity. They were in a strange land. They wake up every morning someplace other than where they wish they were. And they wake up every morning subject to the whims of a pagan king. Captivity, that's their first difficulty. The second thing is the difficulty of confusion. You know, prophets come along today, have a message, you know, something good's going to happen to you. Don't you like that? You turn on television and there he is. Something good is going to happen to you. God wants you to be wealthy. I mean, God wants you to be happy. God wants you to have everything that you want to have. They'll even tell you, hey, you can tell God what to do and he has to do it. Well, let me tell you something, folks. A God who follows our orders is not the God of creation. The God of the Bible doesn't take orders from anybody. Hey, God's only limitations are those that he places on himself. Anyway, those prophets come along and they said, hey, you'll be out of captivity soon. I mean, you'll be back home before you know it, but their prophets were confusing them with their message because Jeremiah said, hey, you're not getting home soon. Your captivity is going to last for 70 years, he says there in verse number 10. You're not going to be going home soon. It's going to last a while. And so, listen, they were having a difficult time in captivity. I think the greatest difficulty they had was the cause of their troubles. Think about that. God said to them there in verse number 4, I have caused you to be carried away. I have caused it, God said. Down in verse number 7, he said, seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captive. You know? And then in verse 14, he said, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord. I will turn away your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And so I think their greatest difficulty was they knew they were in that mess. They knew they were in that terrible place, that situation, and they didn't want to be there, had no desire to be there. They were there because God put them there. Now, let me just say this. Do you know God could heal your sickness? He could, whatever it is, doesn't matter. God could do it. God could solve your financial problems. I mean, it wouldn't take any. He can take care of the job situation that you might have. God could put an oil well on the back of your property. You know? He could solve the family problem. He could heal the marriage. And God could do. But you know, sometimes God doesn't. Sometimes he doesn't. Huh? And we say, why? God, why? You know, I've tried to be faithful. I've tried to be obedient. I've tried to do what is right. And I still have these troubles. And everywhere I look, all around me, there are people who do not even know you. In fact, people who reject you, God, and they don't have the problems that I have. Why? I'm sure if you had asked Judah, what one thing would you like more than anything else in the whole world? You know what they would have said, huh? They would have said, I want to go home. I would just like to go home. I want to sleep in my own bed. I'd like to be in my own land, the land that God gave me after journeying so many years through the wilderness. And so we have their difficulty. Now, the second thing, we'll look at God's direction. In verse number 5, God says, build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased here and not diminished. Now, God came to Judah now, and he says, here's what I want you to do. First of all, settle down and build a house. Now, you know, these false prophets have come telling me, oh, God's going to bless you. You're going to be gone. You'll be out of here before you. But no. God says, settle down and build a house. Now, what if I said to you, tomorrow I'm going back to Carolina. I mean, I've been up here long enough. And so tomorrow I'm going back. But I need somewhere to stay tonight. So, preacher, I want you to build me a house. You say, well, that's kind of foolish. Well, that doesn't make any sense. If I'm going to Carolina tomorrow, what do I need with a house? I just need some place to sleep tonight. But Judah, they needed houses. God said, build a house, plant a garden, you know. And the reason was, they're not going home tomorrow. No matter what the false prophet says, they are not going anywhere soon. And so God said, build ye houses. And then he said, hey, I want you to succeed here. I want you to plant a garden and eat the fruit thereof. In other words, you're not going home, and so make the best of it. Then he said something else I like there in verse number 7. Seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives. Pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. Now let's face it, Babylon was not a good city. It was not a nice city to be in. In fact, it was bad. I mean, the empire was not a godly empire. It was a godless empire. But God said, hey, I want you to pray for Babylon. I want you to pray that I will bless it. Talk to me about it. I want you to seek the peace of it, because in the peace thereof, ye shall have peace. Now, let me ask you this. How long has it been since you prayed for the peace of Russia? We hear a lot of news about how they're so wicked, China, Iraq. How long has it been since you prayed for them? You know, if they have peace, we'd be having peace, wouldn't we? Isn't that what God's saying here? Pray for Babylon. Pray for the peace of Babylon. For if they have peace, we will. Now, listen, I love America. Oh, it don't take much to get me to stand up tall, you know, even though I'm bent over. I love America. I love to hear a marching band going down the street playing a good old military march. You know, there's nothing better than that. I love America. No, but I'll tell you, I don't like a situation in America where the Gideons cannot pass out New Testaments in the schools, you know, but the teacher can pass out contraceptives without even notifying the parents. I don't like stuff like that. Do you? I don't like a situation, and you probably don't like it either, but I don't like a situation where you cannot have a manger scene at City Hall at Christmas time. Or I don't like a situation where you can murder 1.5 million babies in their mother's womb and all that. I didn't like it back in 2020, maybe, when the COVID hit, and they told us that churches were not essential, you know. And to shut the door, and people cannot come to church, you know, like they want to. And the reason I don't like that is because down the street, the abortion mills were still open, and everybody went to Walmart. They didn't stay away from there. And so after 5 or 6 weeks, I decided, hey, the church is more essential than folk think. And so we just go back to church. I don't like what America has become, but I haven't given up yet. Huh? I'm going to keep on serving God and trying to get people saved and see if we can get a righteous remnant to spare us God's judgment. That's what we need. Pray for Babylon, God said. God said this to Judah through the prophet Jeremiah. You're going to have to start over. You had a house, now you don't. So what you need to do is build another one. You had a garden, but it's been taken from you. Plant another, you see. Cultivate it. Hey, listen. You can lose something and want it back more than anything else in all the world, but sometimes you're just not going to get it, you know? You can sit around and feel sorry for yourself. You can have a pity party. You can talk about the good old days and how tough it is now. Or you can say, hey, I'm going to roll up my sleeves. I'm going to plant a garden. I'm going to cultivate it, and I'm going to live. I'm just going to dig up with tools and soil, and I'm going to get my tools, and I'm going to build a house and just start all over again. Now, I remember when I was a pastor, it hadn't been long, but it seemed like a long time ago. And when I was a pastor, your pastor don't do this, but I did. I sat around some, especially on Monday, and I'd wished to myself that I had a bigger church. You know, when I was a pastor, there were times I just said, well, I wish I hadn't lost that person, or I wish this family had not left. You know. And all you may not like where you are, and you may feel like you've lost some good things, but don't go backward. Just start over again. Look at what God said there in verse 5. He said, build you houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat the fruit thereof. Take wives and beget sons and daughters and marry your children off there. In other words, what God is saying is, you're not going anywhere soon. Huh? So you might as well start over again. Now, I know it's hard sometimes. I mean, I know that people will betray you and there are burdens along the way, but I also know this, the blessings are far more bountiful than the burdens. They always are. I know there are some difficulties along the way, but you ought to say, and what you ought to do is just, I'm going to build a house and I'm going to plant a garden here. That's where God put me. So I'm going to do it here. I'm going to win people to Christ here. I'm going to serve God right here. I'm going to do my best right here. Maybe your marriage isn't what you wish it was. But I'll tell you, you need to make it the best you can and just go on. Amen? I don't remember what vows they're using nowadays, but when I made mine 68 years ago, it was a commitment. You know? I don't know why people, just make the best of it and go on and you can do it. Your children maybe haven't turned out the way you want them. Just love them and pray for them and just go on and serve God anyway. Maybe you have some health problems, some difficulties. You know, nothing you can do about it. Well, just go on, be everything you can. Just get up every day determined to do something for God. Huh? Now, we've seen their difficulty, and now let's look at their devotion. If you look at verse 11, God said, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." First of all, we have devotion from God. Aren't you thankful for that? God loves you and cares about you. Hey, there's nothing you can do that would make God love you any less. You know what? Think about it. I mean, God loves you, you know? And God says, let me tell you what I've been thinking about. That's what he says here in verse number 11. I know the thoughts that I think toward you. In other words, God's saying, let me tell you what I think about. I think thoughts of peace. That's what God wants. The Hebrew word for peace is shalom. It means safe or well or happy. And so in verse 11, God said, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. Boy, I like God has an expected end, and God has thoughts of peace toward you and I, not evil thoughts. Amen? Somebody said, "Well, preacher, my heart is so heavy today." You don't know my difficult burden, preacher. You just don't understand. I don't think I can just go another way. I know that God has for you a hopeful conclusion. Amen. Isn't that what he says? We don't always know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know that, but we know that God has a hopeful conclusion and expected end. We know that God has peace for you, thoughts of peace, and not thoughts of evil. God wants you to be safe and well and happy. Do you know it? Knows it. I like the songs of heaven, you know. Now, I'm really not old, but I'm really not young either, you know. And the older I get, the more I enjoy thinking about heaven. I like that song, "This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore." I mean, think about it, heaven. Can you imagine? No, you can't imagine the peace and the tranquility. I'm glad there's a place called heaven. I'm glad. I love to hear that old song, "Soon and very soon, I'm going to see my king." Amen. I mean, realize that. God, hey, I don't care how hard it is. It doesn't matter how much burden you have on you or how crushed your spirit is. I've got good news. God has thoughts of peace to give us an expected end. I think it was Dr. Curtis Hudson said one time, you can put up with a lot on the journey if you know what's coming at the end. And you know that's the truth, isn't it? I know weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And God said, hey, I want you to know I am devoted to you. I love you. I have thoughts of peace and not evil. I want to give you an unexpected end. And I want you to notice there's not only devotion from God spoken in this passage. There's also devotion for God. Do you see that? Verse 12, "Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart." There's not only devotion from God, but devotion for God. Now, do you know why you aren't closer to God than you are right now? The Apostle Paul said in his sermon there on Mars Hill, Acts 17, he says, he is not far from any one of us. God is not far from any one of us. Now think about that. He said, then shall you call upon me, you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. God says, you seek me and you'll find me. That's what he said. But there's one qualification. If you'll notice what the verse says, you have to seek me with all of your heart. Seek me with all of your heart. In other words, God is simply saying that if you want to look at it in a simple way, he said, I've got to be more important to you than your house is. 50 years ago, when I was pastoring there in College Park, there was a fellow who lived out almost across from the parsonage. And it used to really burn me on Wednesday night. I'd be driving out to church and go by his house, and he'd be on his riding mowing his lawn. Do you ever do that, stay home from church and mow your yard? No, God's got to be more important than your home. You know that? God's got to be more important to you than your friends. He's talking about seeking him with all of your heart. He's got to be more important to you than your finances are. I mean, whatever problem you have, what people think about you, God said, I've got to be more important than the dearest folk that you have on this earth. Then he said, you shall seek me and find me when you seek me after with all your heart. Now, just an application. That was simple. The application is, first, everybody is in some kind of captivity. Now, I wish we weren't, but we are. I guarantee you, every person sitting here wishes some things in your life were different than they are. Everybody. I mean, that's just one of the things. We all have burdens. You know what? And I don't need the name. You know what they are. You know the one that's really bothering you tonight. You know what it is. And it does matter to whom you listen. I mean, there are false prophets will come along and promise you the world. And they'll tell you what you want to hear. But thank God, you've got a preacher to tell you what you need to hear. I remember one time I had an assistant. And we were talking, and I said, what do you think we could do, humanly speaking? I know God has to do it, but what do you think we could do, humanly speaking, to see church growth? He said, well, if we'd find out what people want and give them what they want. I said, let me give you a little lesson, son. God did not call us give you what you want. He called pastor to give us what we need. Amen? So it matters to whom you listen. And then God knows what he's doing. I mean, that's a simple little statement, but it's true, isn't it? God knows what he's doing. Did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurred to God? Nothing ever. No. Well, I wish he'd tell me. God knows what he's doing. Why would you tell me? He don't have to tell you. Sometimes he just wants you to trust him. Amen? Listen, God has says right here that I have thoughts of peace and not evil to give you an expected end. God said to give you a good conclusion. So all we have to do is trust him for that. And no matter what comes along, in the end, it's going to be good and right, and you don't have to worry. Little old song, why worry when you can pray? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. All we have to do is just pray. And you lessen trouble's hold on you when you tighten your hold on God. When will we get out of this mess that we're in? Only God knows. But I say this, when we seek the Lord with all of our heart, that's when we'll make it. Amen. All right. Father, we love you tonight, and we're thankful that you are our Father. We realize it's all by the grace of God, and that we are what we are by your grace. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have to assemble tonight. Pray you'll bless the remainder of this time as we spend time in prayer, as we seek you and things that really matter. In Jesus' name, amen.